Well, if you can solve the Middle East crisis, there would have to be no health problem anywhere in the world, I'd reckon, because it is an ongoing thing as old as the Bible itself. Dr. Daniel Pipes is the president of the Middle East Forum, a Taub Distinguished Visiting Fellow of the Hoover Institute of Stanford University. He's visiting Australia, and welcome to the studio, sir.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Now, they say that if your warnings had been heeded, the 9/11 attacks almost 10 years ago wouldn't have happened. Is that a big claim, or why would it have been true?
I wouldn't make that claim, but I was focused on radical Islam or Islamism before 9/11, when a lot of people were not, and now people are. Mm. And I think that's a good thing. It's a major worry.
And of course, the whole, you know, Islam, radical Islam aspects of the discussion that we've had since 9/11 has been a religion that says it's based on peace, and my friends, my Muslim friends, certainly practice that approach, taken over by people who don't seem to want to practice peace, who want to practice hatred, who want to kill in the name of religion, defaming an entire group of people in this world as a result. How do we actually defeat that kind of ignorance?
Well, Islam is many things. Over 1,400 years, different continents. They're more peaceable versions, they're more warlike versions. But the essence of Islam, the essence of Islam is about the superiority of Muslims over non-Muslims. Now, this can take more benign and less benign forms. Yeah. It can take a form of wanting to show you the beauties of Islam. It can take the form of Al-Qaeda wanting to murder you. That's up to the individual Muslims. And there is no right and there's no wrong, but there's at the heart of Islam a very deep-grained sense that Islam is the final and the perfect religion, and all other religions are defective.
Mm, so you say there's an arrogance that's personified by some of these actions.
These actions are not going against the grain of Islam, but historically, most Muslims have not viewed themselves as ready to kill non-Muslims for this. Let me be more precise. The Islam is, at its base, a series of laws called the Sharia. And if one were to reduce a very complex body of laws to its most important essence, it would be the superiority of Muslim over non-Muslim, the superiority of male over female, and the legitimacy of using force to expand the boundaries of the territories ruled by Muslims. Mm. And these are problematic ideas in the 21st century. Mm. And so those of us who focus on this topic are very keen on finding ways by which Muslims can adapt their religion to modernity. Now, some Muslims are perfectly modern, but a lot of them are not. Mm. And that's the great challenge.
Okay, so then that comes into the cultural underpinning of some of the people involved. I mean, they can read from the Quran and they can practice it in different ways in different parts of the world, from what I've been able to see.
As one Egyptian philosopher put it, the Quran is like a supermarket. You can take from it what you will. Mm. You can find the more peaceable dimension and you can find the more bellicose dimension. It's up to you.
Mm. Well, of course, the Catholic Pope, Benedict, has made a similar observation about the cafeteria Catholics, the ones who want to cherry-pick parts of Catholic teaching. So there's nothing new in a religion having those sorts of problems, I wouldn't have thought.
Nothing new, except the Catholic Church has gone through centuries of dealing with modernity in a way in which the Islamic leaders have not done so.
Okay.
So for example, to take a few practical cases, there is unanimity in the Christian and Jewish worlds that slavery, the enforced forced labor, is unacceptable. Mm. Now, it didn't get there easily. The United States, for example, had a very major civil war. It's not something that would simply happen.
And kind of hurt the way commercial enterprises worked at the time, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
There's universal agreement that normal interest on money, say 2-5% a year, is acceptable. Mm. These are topics that have not yet been dealt with in the Muslim world. There is still slavery. And there is
Where's that?
Oh, all over. In Africa, in Mauritania, in Sudan, in Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Pakistan. And in some cases, it's overt. Mm. The ban on interest, on riba, is now become the basis of a whole industry that some estimate is hundreds of billions of dollars in value. Mm. So these are essential questions which have been dealt with by other monotheists, have yet to be dealt with by Muslims.
Okay, so this is the perfect religion, 1,400 years old. This is the the prophet, the last prophet. That is their teaching, and that is how they organize themselves. But the Quran itself has been a book that was written and is still in its perfect form, if you like, of 1,400 years ago. The Bible, of course, being updated and rewritten. I'm not sure of the Torah and the Jewish scripts, but I just simply make the point that in the case of the Bible was updated and updated and updated. The Quran hasn't been.
I'm not quite sure what you mean by the Bible being updated. But
Updated in the sense that it was written and then rewritten. It was interpreted. Original scripts were rewritten by people in Rome.
Perhaps it might be useful to draw the comparison between the Quran and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Both are the Word of God, and both are the essence of the religion. Not the Quran and the Bible, but the Quran and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible and Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of religion. But the great challenge facing Muslims today is to take a religion that is a millennium and a half old and to adapt it to modern life. And this is proving not to be an easy task.
Yeah, because they are rooted culturally in a lot of countries way behind the modern world, that some of the countries that where Islam is strongest are countries that are closed societies. Look at the dress that some of them wear, that they cover themselves, the women cover themselves up completely. They come into a Western country and they stand out like the proverbial sore thumb in the crowd.
Well, not only they stand out, but they're saying that they have a way of life that's superior to what we have in the West. Mm. And this is where the rub comes, is that a certain percentage of the Muslims who have moved to the West, be it Australia or Europe or North America, have said, you know, West, you've got an inferior civilization. We've got something better.
Okay.
And we're going to teach you ours. We're going to impose ours. We're going to push for Islamic law.
Mm.
And that's where the tensions come. And particularly in Europe, one's finding that the population is saying, no, we don't like this. We'd rather stay the way we have been for all these centuries. We don't want to become we don't want to become Muslims. We don't want to become subservient to Islamic law. And this is an increasing tension throughout the West, including in Australia.
In this country, we can talk it out. We don't fight it out. And it's got to stay that way. We want to keep talking it out. And I find a lot of good Muslim friends. I've got a lot of good friends who are full on in enterprise, employing Australians of all backgrounds who communicate broadly. I mean, surely this kind of model is the kind of model we want to encourage.
But it's not, of course it is, but it's not just a matter of personal behavior. It's a matter of understanding what the religion means, what the Quran means, how to interpret it. And that's something not for the individual businessman. That's something for the specialists in religion, for the interpreters of the Quran, for the leaders. And the onus is on them to come up with a new understanding. And unfortunately, in recent decades, the new understanding has been in a fundamentalist and an Islamist and a radical direction. The good news is that in the last 10 years, especially, one sees new voices and hears new interpretations that are more constructive and more modern.
So the challenge to Muslims is to take charge of their religion and to bring it and to bring the modern world and it together.
Exactly. In effect, there's a fight among Muslims how to understand the Quran, how to understand the religion. And at this point, it's the obscurantists who dominate. But I think there are signs, particularly in Iran, to suggest that this is a fleeting phenomenon, and it won't be too long before other voices will be heard.
Okay, so the things that can bring us together have got to be stronger than the things that keep us apart?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, your visit to Australia, I know you'll be doing a number of TV performances. Thank you for taking the time to come to talk to us today, Dr. Daniel Pipes. He knows about these subjects regarded around the world in a very distinguished way. Tough subject, heavy subject. It's Friday afternoon, but let's talk about it anyway. 13, 13, 32. It's 16 past 4.